Now for some numbers. 5 million, that's how many Americans are living with Alzheimer's. 67 seconds, that's how often someone in the U.S. develops the disease. And 15.5 million, that's the number of caregivers in this country for people with Alzheimer's, all according to the Alzheimer's Association. And it's the caregivers we want to focus on right now. Could be a friend, could be a relative, but it's often a spouse. And our question is, if you're taking care of a spouse who has lost their memory and perhaps their identity, is it okay to start dating other people? Jim Garrett faced that dilemma after his wife developed Alzheimer's when she was 62. She passed away last year, but years before she did, Jim decided to start dating another woman, even though his wife still lived in the house with him. Jim is with us here in the studio. Jim, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Well, Jim, tell us about what happened with you and what happened with your marriage after your wife was diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Well, immediately after she was diagnosed, we sought advice as to how do you handle this sort of thing. And we turned to the Alzheimer's Association of Massachusetts and New Hampshire and helped us plan the life that we were going to have together for as long as nature would let us have it together. As we move forward, my wife then lost the ability to communicate somewhere in around the 8 to 10 year mark. As we move forward, I also made the decision that I would not necessarily be her sole caregiver. And I think in the long run, that was a good decision. Contacted and hired a gal that did an outstanding job over an 8 year period, the last 8 years, and towards the end, even organized a crew of gals that were with my wife 24/7.
Was your wife on board with that decision to not for you not to be the sole caregiver?
My wife at that point, at the point I made that decision, probably about 6 years after diagnosis, was unable to comprehend. Mm. So she didn't participate in that. But she did enjoy the company of the caregivers, which I suppose is a way of her in endorsing the decision.
At what point did you decide to start dating?
Well, probably about 5 years before her death, I all of a sudden realized that the non-communication, really the being able to relate to one another other than in the very basic of functions, I realized I was lonely and lonely for female companionship. I also felt that I could maybe enjoy that companionship, dating. And so I tried a little bit of dating after 45 years. And obviously it's turned out where one of my dates were pretty significant to me. And so we have plans to be married.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Were there any second thoughts, though, as that was going on? Did you feel guilty about it?
Well, I felt concerned that what I was feeling and the direction I was going was maybe not being defined in the social norms. You don't usually date if your wife, quote, is alive. But in this case, she was not really my wife anymore, I guess is the only way you could say it. And I read a book by Barry Peterson in which he was confronted with the same issue. His comment, and it sticks with me today, is, "I don't know what's right or wrong, but I'm making it up as I go along, and I hope to heck I'm right."
How did your kids react?
My kids reacted at various levels. My oldest daughter was sympathetic for my loneliness, whereas a couple of the boys didn't understand why I needed to date. And I went to my minister and talked to him about it a little bit. And I said, I'm being honest and open about this, but I really don't know what's right or wrong. And he replied to me, well, you know, the definition of right and wrong constantly changes, but the definition of honesty never does. And I thought that was right on.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up your minister, because some people listening to this may think, well, I thought the vow was till death do us part. And the question is, what counts as death?
That is absolutely, in my mind, a valid question. I think in the case of Alzheimer's, it's such an insidious disease that it really takes the person away from you long before the physical death. And so, in a way, you've lost your spouse, in this case, well before she physically passed away.
This is Here and Now, and we've been talking with Jim Garrett. He's 75 and recently lost his wife to Alzheimer's disease. But years before she died, Jim decided to start dating, even though his wife was still living at home with him. Let's now bring in Sharon Shaw. She's a psychologist and runs support groups at the Alzheimer's Association of New York City. Sharon, you heard Jim's story there. What do you think of it? I'm sure you've dealt with stuff like this in the past.
Yes, I have. I've led a support group for spouses for the last 23 years at the Alzheimer's Association in New York City. And this comes up periodically. I have to say, not a lot. It may be that there are some people who are dating and who don't want to talk about it in the support group. There are others who gain a great deal of comfort talking with other people in the group who have known them for a long time and understand their situation, and you also understand how lonely it can be living with someone who has changed so dramatically and is no longer a companion in so many ways. So, you know, I do think, Jim, I think what you're describing is that this is initially very uncharted territory for spouses, something one never expects. You kind of go along and do what feels right with the support of people who care about you.
Sharon, what advice do you give to people who come to you with a situation like this?
Well, I don't really give advice. I as a psychotherapist, I help people to explore, you know, this issue, to arrive at something, again, that feels right for them. But I think this is the value of support groups, because in groups, people are really very non-judgmental. And what we aim for is for caregivers to take care of themselves. And if finding a relationship, a meaningful relationship, while caring for a spouse, helps someone to get through this difficult experience, if that works, then, that's a wonderful thing. And I also have to say that, in my experience, no spouse that I know of who has started a relationship outside of their marriage with someone with the disease has abandoned their spouse. They continue to care for them fully and love them fully while getting on with their own lives in a meaningful way.
Jim, you're nodding your head.
I'm nodding my head. I couldn't have put it better. That's exactly the way I felt. And when you're 75 years old, that there isn't a huge future ahead of you. So you need to get on with your life.
How does the relationship work with the woman that you are dating and now that you are going to be married to, while you have to at the same time care for your wife?
That relationship was outstanding. I think I'm going to marry her because she is an extraordinary person. And she fully understood and would chase me out of her house after dinner saying, you got to get home. Mm. And she did that on a regular basis, fully understood that I was committed to this and I needed to see the commitment to the end.
Now, how have your children reacted to the fact that you are now going to marry this woman?
My children are still sorting out my wife's death. To them, she didn't depart until we buried her. At this point, they're still grieving, I think is probably the correct phrase. We're trying to sort it out as a family now.
Sharon, how does it figure in when there are children of the person who is making the decision about whether to start dating while also caring for a spouse with Alzheimer's?
You know, it depends so much on the family dynamic and on the history of the relationships, you know, both between the children and the person with the disease and the children and the caregiver. I've seen situations, I think, Jim, you described. Your daughter was sympathetic and supportive, your son perhaps less so, and I think it really varies from family to family. Most children want their parents to be happy, and, again, unless there's a history that really gets in the way of working this thing through, children are generally supportive.
Well, I think in my case, their desire for me to be happy seems to be in conflict with the loss of their mother. And I think that's what they're in the process of trying to sort out.
You know, one of the things that I notice in speaking to both of you is that this situation is not clear cut and there's no guidebook for it. Even though this is already affecting so many people and probably will affect many, many more in the coming years. Final thoughts on that. First to you, Sharon, about the fact that people don't know what to do in a situation like this.
Well, people don't know what to do when they get a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. And, this is a shock to the person with the disease and to the family members. And Jim, you're involved with the Alzheimer's Association in Massachusetts, I with the Association in New York City. And what we suggest is that people, connect with the Alzheimer's Association and get help from the beginning all the way through to the death of the person with the disease. There are so many services that are available, and not only support groups, but education programs and individual counseling if necessary, and where to find help and how to get the best diapers and whatever it might be. So there's a lot of help out there, and I think that really is the key to getting through this illness.
Jim?
The social worker with hospice near the end of Jane's life, I spoke with her after Jane's death about my now fiance, my desire to marry her, desire to move forward. And she told me a story that I thought was interesting. It was a personal story of hers. She lost her father, and her mother immediately found somebody else that she wanted to marry. And this social worker just couldn't fathom how mom could move on so fast. Mm. And one of her friends walked up to her and said, "Well, you know, for somebody that wants to move on so quickly, their previous marriage must have been really great in order for her to want to continue to be married." Mm. That's the way I feel.
Well, Jim Garrett and Sharon Shaw, thank you so much to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you.